So let's pick up a Zen and a Vizeloi Chaser. So we're on top of page 8. So we have the Gemara and Daf Chaf Medaf. The Gemara is Mesupak, whether Zen and a Vizeloi Chaser is Chayiv. And initially the Gemara wants to bring a Raya from our Mishnah that Zen and a Vizeloi Chaser is Chayiv. Right? So you can see here on the Gemara and Chaf Medaf, first line on page 8. So Amar Lei, we have a raya from our Mishnah, Im Nenis Mishalemis Mashanenis. You see from the case of an animal that's, you see from the case of Shein Bershus Arabim that Zen Nen Avizel Lo Chaser is Chayiv. Good raya? From our Gemara that Zen Nen Avizel Lo Chaser is Chayiv because Shein Bershus Arabim is Chayiv.
Zen Lo Chaser?
Yeah, if I really assume it's like half fair or something.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, so the Gemara brings a raya from here, but then the Gemara says, no, that's a horrible raya. Hai zen nene vizeh chaser. Hai zen nene vizeh chaser. Hai zen nene vizeh lo chaser. Right? The Gemara says, no, maybe it's a case of zeh lo chaser. Maybe it's a case of, sorry. The Gemara says, the Mishnah is a case of zen nene vizeh chaser, and you're trying to prove a case of zen nene vizeh lo chaser. Right? Because in the case of the Mishnah, the Baal HaPeros is chaser. So the Gemara says, Rami Bar Chama, what does Rami Bar Chama hold? Who thought that you could bring a raya from our Mishnah? So he said, Stam peros b'rishus harabim mafkure mafkir lehu. Right, that your mistama mafkir peros in rishus harabim, and that's why it's zen nene vizel lo chaser, because once you're mafkir them, there's no loss. And afal pi chen, you see that you're chayiv. Right, that's the proof from the Mishnah. So look at Rashi. Mafkir lehu velo chisar midi dehasofen leibud. The person knows that he's going to lose his peros that he puts in Rishus Harabim. So he's not at any loss. And we saw this earlier in the year because this is one possible explanation for the patur Shein Rishus Harabim in the first place. Right? Maybe you're pater because the balachanus is mafkir as peros. Tosas takes issue with this. And Tosas says, wait a second. If we consider the Baal HaPeros to have been mafkir them, what problem do we run into? Why should he even be able to collect the Dmei Hana if he's mafkir them? So here's Tosos on Chaf Mebeis, Afkurei mafkir lehu. Lo legamri de'im kein afilu mashanen es lo mishalim. And look what Tosos says. Ela misyayish mehem, shesover sheyiskalkulu machmas sherabim dorsim aleyem, ad shelo yavo lidmei mashanen es. So what's Tosa saying? So you're not fully mafkir them.
You don't even expect to get anything, though, because you assume that most people will just trample and they won't benefit at all from them.
Yeah, so what's this middle ground, right? Tosa wants to say, on the one hand, you're not mafkir them, so you retain title with respect to your rights to collect mehana, but you've despaired on keeping the peros?
No, even getting the benefit of even getting mehana.
Then why are you, I mean, you just smeared your miyayish in the mehana, but you can still collect it?
I think so.
So it's an interesting pshat then, right? Because then he's saying that, it's not clear, it's a very cryptic tosos. Yeah. Right? He wants to have his cake and eat it.
I mean, it's really just touching on our Rambam's point, because even if you aren't mafkir completely, it's not obvious that that wouldn't be a loss to the guy. Because if you're mafkir, because of the fact that, like, you will end up losing it.
Right. So what's the relevant way of gauging chisaron? Like,
right.
Relative to what could have happened, or what he wanted to happen, right? Or something. What's the relevant counterfactual to gauge chisaron? It's not clear, right? So Tosis here wants to say, though, that you could have a middle ground where you're mafkir them. So you're mafkir, or your miyayish from your peros, because you know they're going to be trampled, but they're still yours with respect to the Dmei Hana. So it's really interesting because the way I understand this Tosos, tell me if you think this is incorrect, is that you despair from everything except for your right to collect the Dmei Hana from it. Right? So you know that you're going to lose some of these payros to the hustle and bustle of the Rishas Arabim, but you're not waiving your rights with respect to collecting Dmei Hana that you can still recover from the losses in the Rishis Harabim. Is that a conceivable reading of this Tosos? Right? So the point, my point is that you're just, Tosos thinks you're not miyayish from the Dmei Hana that you could recover.
I don't think that's what you're saying.
No?
I think you are miyayish from that. It's just that you're not really king title.
Mm-hmm. So you want to read Tosos saying that you're miyayish from the Dmei Hana, but that's still yours to collect.
Yeah.
Because there's no such thing as yish on the Hana. Yish is just on the Chefetz itself. So what does your yish help you from? What does it help you for?
That's what makes it not a loss.
So because like psychologically... So even though you're entitled to collect for all damages, it's not really chaser because you're okay giving up your... Because
you expected to lose it anyway. Like you expected that money was never coming to you. Like once you like wrote it down like as like a liability on like your balance sheets, like it doesn't matter anymore that, okay, that's okay, and destroy it.
So chaser is more about like what you care about. What your kpedas are.
I don't know if it's about kpedas, but like, yeah, I think it's more about like You've already written it off.
Right.
As like a loss.
So like the relevant counterfactual for determining chaser is like whether you would be okay losing this.
Right. I mean, you're still going back to pay this, but sure. Then like you're like a fruit merchant, so like and you bring your fruits, so like you've already like you've written off like a certain amount of loss.
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
So like anything after that, I mean, you don't double count the loss.
You're not considered to be chaser.
Yeah. It's just like an actualization of the fact you already lost it.
Yeah. Look here at this Maram commenting on this Tosos. He quotes two deas. There are two girsos in Tosos. And he quotes two deas, but how to interpret it. So he says, so everybody see after the, in the second line of the Maram, Verotza Lomar, Tehadika Amar Begamar Afkuri Mafkir Lav Dafka, Verotza Lomar Mistama Misyayish Mehem, Im lo yiskalkalu harei tov. Right, so if they don't get trampled, then you're happy. Im yiskalkalu afilu legamri, afilu ad shelo yagia l'dmei mashenenis, yiskalkalu. Meaning, if they do end up getting destroyed, so then you're fine with that. L'kach lo mikri zenena v'zechaser, dim yistama l'dach zeh hinicham b'rshas harabim. So he's trying to say that, look, there's a disjunction here. The yish is only on the sad that they're niskalkel. But kolzman that they're not niskalkel, you want to retain title to them. Right? And so here they weren't niskalkel versus arabim. So you actually weren't miyayish. But it's not considered chaser since you were prepared to be misyayish in the event that they were trampled. I think that's the first day of the Maram Lublin. So I think that's really a chiddush in like the kpeda, that how we define chaser is based off how willing you would be to relinquish title in an analogous situation. Right, you hear that? Jonah, you're masking, right?
It's very mechudish.
It's very mechudish, right? Because lamaisa, you're chaser.
Right.
But he's saying, but since you would have been able to amenable to yiyush in a very similar situation where they're mamish niskalkel, so we don't view you as being chaser.
Right.
Right? Maskim on the reading, Isaac?
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now he quotes a second girsa in Tosos where they change that last phrase. So in the new girsa, it's that you're only miyayish for the amount until the dmei mashananis. The higiu came mishum shahaya kasha lahem the imis yayish mehem shayas kalkulu legamri hafilu ad shalo yavo le dmei mashananis imken haja kushta tos leduchta the imken hafilu mashananis lo mishalim.
That's what you were saying to us before, that second size. But like you're not misyayish from the Dmei Hana, you're misyayish from every other rate.
This other girsa.
Yeah.
I mean, you're misyayish from everything except for the Dmei Hana amount. Okay, so there are two ways, at least two ways to understand this Tosos. As you see in the Tugger Sevs from the Maram Leblin. Nothing really important hangs on it, but I mean, except for like what's considered the Stam Hefker and Shisar Abim and how exactly you gauge Chisaron. And whether you could have this kind of formal relinquish of title, except for you reserve your rights for the Hana amount. But I guess the question is like how malleable is this concept of Yush on your Chafatim and Rosh Hasharabim? Right. Any Haros on this, guys?
I'm wondering.
So the idea is like I get into a car accident, I'm like, oh, I'll leave the wreck. I'm Yayish from the wreck. Unless somebody benefits from it, then I'm reserving my rights to collect the Hana amount. Is that feasible?
I'm just wondering if it would like, so then what would be a case, like Hezek Shem Nicker, where like, I'm reserving the right to collect, but nothing really happened. I don't know. I'm trying to like think of.
All right, what a case would be.
Yeah, like a case yeah. would be where that would matter.
So one of the interesting things that comes out of this Tosos again is how you define chaser, right? And Zenana Vzelo chaser, what's considered the Hagdara of chaser? So if you look here where it says Zenana Vzelo chaser, so the Gemara on Chafam Abayis goes through several cases, because the Gemara is trying to prove Zenana Vzelo chaser chayver poter. The Gemara goes through a few cases, and it's interesting how the Gemara defines chaser in them. So look at the case in the bottom of page 8. The Gemara brings a raya. Tanan, hamakif chaver mishalosh ruchosav. Shona, take it away.
Tanan, hamakif chaver mishalosh ruchosav v'gadar esa rishon v'esa shniya v'esa shlishis. In machai v'noso. Sorry, the fence in my inner neighbor.
Yeah.
Harevias machai v'noso. He would have to pay if I put the fourth wall. Shamina.
Right, because the idea is that the guy on the inside
has free protection.
Once he has free protection from the guy on the outside, so you just imagine there's a wall separating their rishuyos, right, mm-hmm. on the inside. Mm-hmm. I'm hopefully showing them exactly what the case is. But let's assume that the wall's on the inside, like Rashi says. So he benefits. The outside guy doesn't lose, and the inside guy is chayiv, right? Mm-hmm. So as Gemara says, shiny hasam. Right. So the outside guy is saying that I was chaser because your property, the fact that your property is in between mine causes me to have to build a larger perimeter. See that? Should I give you the tzir? It's a very interesting hagdara of chaser. It's a very minimal conception of chaser.
That was true for the first three also.
But in the first three, the inside guy is considered to not have been nene at all because... animals could still get into his property if he's open on one side. So he's not nene at all.
And likelihood of animals coming in is not nene?
Yeah, like Mara assumes not. So all these properties on the outside belong to person A, and here belongs to person B, and then a wall is built along here, right? So the argument is that, at least on Rashi's view, is that... if this property didn't exist on the inside, A would have been sufficient to just build a wall on the outside. You wouldn't even need to build a wall separating the reshuyos. So A is considered to be chaser at B's hana. Everybody see that? It's kind of an interesting definition of chaser because you might have said that's not really... Is that chaser that B happens to have a property there?
Right.
Right? I mean, imagine if somebody else had the property there. Is chaser at B's expense? Not obvious at all. But the Gemara calls that at garantli akef heisera, and you can see Rashi says on the top of page 9, see the last Rashi akef heisera, the ilav sada shel Shimon ben sadosa have a sagile b'mechitos chitzonios. Right? So A is considered to be chaser at B's benefit. So you see the Gemara has a very, very liberal conception as to what chaser means in this case. Okay, so then look at the next case. This is on page 9. As the Gemara says, that's the reason why you're chayiv. Now let me point out, we'll see there's some ambiguity. How much are you chayiv in this case? How much is B chayiv in this case?
Meaning just the break wall or a four wall?
That's a question. That's good. I guess this question doesn't really come up so clearly under Rashi's view. Because you might say, oh, so the question is, what if there's, I'll pose the question more carefully in a second.
Let me tell you Tosis's explanation of the case. So Tosis views the case slightly differently. So he says that it's like this, but the question here is really about building a wall. No, it's too complicated to get Tosis.
Hold off, I'll give you a better example where this question comes to the foreground. So looking at the Gemara on Chaf Amebez, Tashma, the Gemara brings another Raya, Habayis V'Aliyah, like the third source, second source on page 9. So Habayis V'Aliyah Shel Shnayim Shenafu. So it's a condo. One person lives on the second floor, one person lives on the bottom floor. Amar Bala Bay, the building falls down. Amar Balhu Aliyah L'Bala Habayis Livnos V'Hu Eino Rotza. So the guy on the second floor can't build his apartment until the guy on the main floor builds his. Right? So the Gemara says, Hare Balhu Aliyah Bone Bayis V'Yoshe Ba'ach Yitziyosav. So the guy on the top floor can occupy the space of the guy on the bottom floor, build an apartment, and live in it until the guy on the bottom floor buys it off him or pays him for his construction expenses. So Gemara's Medayik. It's Yosef who the Mechayev Le Balabayis Hascharo Lo. Right? So the guy on the bottom, the guy on the top, sorry, doesn't have to pay rent to the guy on bottom whose house or whose area he's occupying. Right? See that? Does everybody get the tier?
No, we're done with the Hascharo.
So the case is, let's say you live on the bottom floor, I live on the top floor, building burns down. I say, build your bottom floor so I could live on top. You refuse. So I'm allowed to build up your space, live in your space, until you buy it off me.
And I pay all the expenditures that you paid.
Yes, you pay the expenses. But like Mars Medayik, that I don't have to pay you for rent for living in your space. Right. So you see that Zenen of Zelo Chaser is Potter. You had no interest in buying it. So you're Chaser. You're not Chaser. I'm Nene. I'm Pater from paying you. Right? That's Gemara's proof. So Gemara says, no. Shiny Hasam did Besa La'aliyah Mishtabed. Right? So that's a special rule in the way like condominiums work, that if you're not willing to build your space, which allows me to live on top of you, then you're liable to let me live in your area. So it's a special rule between like people who share a condominium, that the bottom guy is meshubba to the top guy. Doesn't prove anything about Zenen of Zelo Chaser. Right? As Rashi there says, Sha'al Habayis Lizbol Ha'aliyah Hilka Chadinim Ze Ladurbo. Now the thing is, the Gemara quotes another Tana who disagrees with this position, who says that the tenant on the top floor, the owner of the top floor apartment, has to pay rent when he occupies the bottom floor apartment. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And he says, you are chayav to pay rent. So this is the Gemara in Chafma Beis. See Tashma, right in the middle of page 9. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Af zeh hadar b'chatzar chavir shlomidato, tzarech lahalos lo schar. In this case, where the fire burns down the condo, you have to pay rent. Shma mina zeh nene b'zeh lo chaser chayav. Right? Good proof. So the Gemara says, no. Shaini hasa mishum shachru risa da'ashiyasa. So what's shachru risa da'ashiyasa? John, do you know?
You said it was a minimal loss earlier.
Well?
You said it was a minimal loss earlier.
Yeah, what's the minimal loss? So look at Rashi.
Rashi looks solid. You make the walls a little blackened.
Exactly. So I remember, it's a new house because the old one burnt down. And so Isaac's supposed to be living down there, but I built it up. And my occupancy, it's not Zenena Vizelo Chaser, it's Chaser because I'm getting his new white walls dirty. Right, a new house gets dirty easily. So the Gemara says that's Zenene v'zechaser. See that? So the question is, how much would I be chayiv to pay? So first of all, the point out, it's just a minimal kind of chaser. Right? You leaving now?
Yeah, he moved up to me in like 5 minutes.
Okay, no problem.
Sorry.
Either we'll continue. Well? Yeah, we'll finish. Jonah, should we continue without you?
Yeah.
All right. You can invite JJ to come if you want.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
Well?
I'll let him know.
All right. Yeah. It's more in a gay at Olam Haba than a sociologist. All right. So what do you think, Isaac?
About what?
So, what?
What he owes?
Yeah. So I think the first horror here is just that it's a very it's a very generous conception of chaser, right? It's not like there's material damage, so he's getting the walls a little darker.
Right.
Right. But then how much should he be chayv to pay? Because the hana is not commensurate to the chisaron. The chisaron maybe costs like a new paint job. But the hana might be, thousands of dollars of rent. So here you might say this is a good way of teasing out the difference between the nezek part of it and the hana part of it. Right? Are you chayiv? Zenen of zelo chaser. If on the assumption that you're chayiv, zenen of ze chaser, when you're chayiv, how much are you chayiv for? The demei ha-nezek or the demei ha-hana? So if you look here, it's on page 10. So you see this page 10?
Mm-hmm.
So look at the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, Kasav Arama.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Chayav hadal shal in ba'alav kishir mashir hafzido, b'shef ha-fozlan, aval tfeilav.
Yeah, so you just pay the amount of the chisaron. So I think that implies that it's really just a nezek liability. Yeah. And that's why your liability is for the nezek amount. That's the Ramah Shita. And what about the Dasa Rosh and the Ritva?
About the Dasa Rosh and the Ritva, the Afra Avilom Chas, or the Ramah Shayim and
Yeah. So the Rosh and the Ritva think you pay for the full amount of the Hana.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting, because had you not have darkened the walls, then you would have been totally pater for the Hana. But like once you cause a little bit of Nezek, then you become fully liable for the Hana amount.
Yeah.
So this leans more into the Pnei Yoshua side. Right, so you're chayav for the hana, but if it's kofen al midas tom, because he's not losing anything, so you get a free ride. But the moment the benefit is uneven, because you're benefiting his loss, then you become liable for all the benefits. So it's really very, very sotistik of machlokas.
What happened to the argument that the Tanakh had about it like being like the rules of the...
Yeah, Beis Aliyah Mishtabed. Sounds like just maybe some machlokas tanoim there about the rules of condominiums or something.
Really?
Yeah, and the Gemara says, the Gemara just doesn't really explain how the two... I guess we could look at the Sugim Bamitzia and see how the Gemara...
Everyone agrees that the guy does have to pay the top tenant.
Right, if he wants to buy it off him. I mean, once the guy on the ground floor wants to retrieve his reshus, then he...
Right.
We could look at the Sugim Bamitzia and see what the Mefarshim say there. So the other interesting thing about the connection between the Hana and the Chisaron, so you might ask, how much of a tziruf do you need between them? Between the Zeh Chaser and the Zeh Nene? So here we just saw a discrepancy in the amount, but sometimes you could have like a chronological discrepancy between them. So this is a Tosis in Ksuvis and Lamed Amud Beis. Yeah, so you see the on bottom of page 10, top of page 11?
Yeah.
So that the Gemara in Ksuvis there has an interesting case where somebody stuffs food down your mouth. So let's say I own food, and then Jonah takes my food and force feeds it into your mouth. Okay? So Gemara says that you're liable to pay me for the hana that you benefited. Okay? So Tosus there asks, wait a second, that relative to you, that should be a case of Zenen of Zel Lo Chaser. Because the moment you get the Hana, it's already gone. I mean, it's already like disgusting by the time you get the Hana.
Yeah.
So your Hana is really after.
Wait, why is that?
Tachav Lo Beis Abliya? Because it's not really recoverable once you get the Hana. So the Chaser doesn't come through your Hana.
Okay.
Is the right Tosis here? Oh, yeah, sorry. Look, sorry, not Tosis and Ksivis. That's the case in Ksivis. But look at this Tosis and Bava Kama, Chaf Mebez. Last source on page 10.
Yeah.
So he says, Vim Tomar, Hahu de Tachav lo Chaver Beis Ablia, de Reish Elu Naros, Hamai Chayva Ochel, Zen Nene Vizel lo Chaser Hu. Why? She'im Haya Machzir Haisonim Eses, Vein Shavet Klum. Kind of interesting definition of Ein Ochaser, at least in the Havmina. So he says, Vish Lomar, de lo Dami, Hoel Venene Machmas Achisaron, Shahaya mitchila midi dehab. Shahaya mitchila. So he says, since your nene machmas achisaron shahaya mitchila, it's considered zenene vizachaser, which is a more intuitive reading. But what's interesting, though, is that this back and forth in Tosos turns on how mitsuraf the hana has to be to the chisaron. The Havamina is saying, if the chisaron is distinct from the hana, it's a case of zen nana v'lov zel lo chaser. And the maskana is saying, no, as long as there's some chisaron to the niza, to the owner, and then some hana to the nene, you could be mitzari for them and say zen nana v'lo chaser. Okay, so that's mostly what I wanted to cover for the main question of zen nana v'lo chaser, and to what extent the you're chai for the hana or for the nezek. But look here, so I want to wrap up this discussion with an important chiluk that the Rishonim raise about l'chat chilam b'di'evan. So when we talk about zenana v'zeh lo chaser, so is that only b'di'evan? So we pasken zenana v'zeh lo chaser is pater. That's a maskana, that's how we pasken. So Shulchan Aruch paskens. Sounds like the Gemara sides that way in the end. So basically, Gemara is saying that unless there's chaser, you're not chayev for the hana. But it's machlokas Rishonim, is that only b'di'eved, where the guy already lived there and now you want to charge him for rent? Or does that mean that l'chatchila, you can't even prevent him from living there? That's going to be machlokas Rishonim. So the question is, how does the principle of zen nana v'zeh lo chaser relate to the principle of kofen al midas tom? This is on page 11. The Gemara in Bava Basra on Dafi Beis and Beis talks about Kofen al Midas Tom. It's a very famous case where you have Yorshim.
So you know the Tzir?
So Tzir, they have Yorshim. They have a Chaluka from the father. So this belongs to the father, this main area. And one of the Yorshim separately owns an abutting field. So he has a Tviya on the other Yorshim to give him this Chelek nearby. Because he's Nana and they're Lo Chaser. That's the...
A little Lego piece.
Yeah, exactly. You got this this abutting chelak. So it's a machlokas amoraim in the Gemara there, whether we say kofen al midas tom. The Rambam paskins that we are kofen al midas tom based off something analogous to Zenan of Zelo Chaser. Right? You can see the Rambam here in Shechein Amid Beis Aleph. Underline section, Vekofa also alzeh she'ike bedavar, Vekofen also alzeh she'iku bedavar zeh midas stomi. That's based on Babat's Yud Beis. So, Tosos in our sugya then asks, how does the sugya of Kofen al midas stom relate to zeh nana v'zeh lo chaser? So what Tosus is worried about is how could the Gemara hold that Zen Nana Vizelo Chaser is an open question, right? The Gemara is specific about it, if it's already a settled matter in Baba Basra, that Kofen al Midas Tom, which would imply that it ought to be Pater. Can't be an open question whether Zen Nana Vizelo Chaser is high or Pater. So get Tosus on Chaf and Beis, see what he answers. Hi, it's Hannes. Yeah.
Because you're allowed to prevent the guy from doing it.
Right. So it sounds like he wants to say that our case is somehow special because even if in general we're kofen al midas tom, l'chatchila here you can still block him from living in your house. Right? So that establishes, first of all, that the din of zen nana v'zeh lo chaser is only b'di'eved. right? L'chadchila, you could prevent him from living there. Tosis in Bava Basra, Yabez and Beis is something similar. You can see Ve'od, Dehad Dekofen Al Midas Stom, Bezen Nana Bezel Ochaser, Hainu B'Shekvar Dor B'Chatzer Chaveiro. She'en Amal Aschar. Ve'ha Pshita, Pshita She'yachol Limchos Po She'lo Yichnos Lada Rebeisa. Right, so it's obvious that you could block him from trespassing l'chadchila, right? So it's interesting. Tosus thinks that there are greater rights l'chadchila than there are b'dieved.
Right.
So the question that the later Rishonim asked then is, why is it that b'dieved is not covered by Kofen Al Midas Stom? Why not say that Kofen Al Midas Stom requires you to let the guy live there l'chadchila?
Well,
right, or why Midas Tom doesn't apply to the L'chadchila case. So Mika Yosef here on Daf Ches and Daf Erif quotes the Re'ah, his very interesting distinction. So Kasav HaRe'ah Afagav Dekaimelon Ba'alma Zen Nene V'ze Eino Chaser Kofinoso Amidas Tom Hani Mili B'karka Shal Shnehem She'ein mishtamesh b'shelo klal. Skip to the next underline. Aval hishtamesh b'shelo klal lo amru she'im yata omrakein ein lecha adam shelo yachav es chavir al karcha. So the Ra actually thinks there's a distinction between a case where it's your property and the case where it's not yet your property. So for example, in this case of the Yarshin, where we apply Kofin Amidas Stom, the word is that none of the Yorshim exclusively own this land. They're all joint owners through the Yerusha. Right? And so when they're joint owners, we can say Kofin Amidas Stom, so everyone has equal rights to it. So you're forced to let the Yoresh take Chelek near his land. But in our case of Dar B'chatzar Chaver Shelo B'Rishus, so I have a right to protect my property. And that means that I have a right to exclude a trespasser. So you see, that's his distinction between... We only say, Kofen Amidas Stom, Bikarka Shel Shnehem, where there's no concern of Mishtamesh B'Shelo. There's no real issue of trespass. That, like, I'm never obligated to give up my right to exclude in my own land. It's only when everyone has equal rights to my property, then we'll talk about Kofen Amidas Stom. I think it's a very interesting...
Chila.
What? Pretty intuitive. Yeah, very intuitive. It's also very stark on property rights, the right to exclude. Because he's saying, like, it's licht in being an owner that you could exclude somebody from your property. You might have said that Kofen Amidas Stom means that you don't have a right to exclude if it doesn't come at a loss to you. Right?
What?
Because it's a property right. Yeah, look at this Mordechai also. So Mordechai has a similar distinction. Top of page 12. Pirish read, my time was then and of his eino chaser. Kasa Rabbeinu Avi Ezri. Shemati dematzi lemichve de hakofen al midas dom. Okay, so the Ravia disagrees actually with this point of Tosfos. And he says that even lechatchila, the squatter could compel the owner, in a case of Zen Nana Vizelo Chaser, to allow him to squat there because Kofen Al Midas Dom. So, see, he thinks that you don't have this right to exclude on your own property if you're not suffering a loss because of it. Very sotistic of Machlokas here.
Yeah.
And then he says, V'yesh Mefarshim, this is consistent with Tosos, De'ein Kofen. So, we don't coerce. L'chatchila, why? Ela Kigon Hecha Demahani. So the only time we would coerce him to allow a squatter to stay is if, even if the owner had wanted to rent out the property, he wouldn't have been able to rent it out. But if there's some theoretical scenario where he could have rented it out, then that's sufficient reason for us to evict the squatter. See the next underline? Aval hecha de'i hava boi balachatzer l'igure hava mervach. If had the owner wanted to rent it out to gain for himself, he could have. Hashanami ki lo mogerle lo kaifinale. We're not going to force him to allow the squatter to stay. Interesting distinction, exactly why that should be the standard for whether we'll evict somebody l'chatchila. See that point?
You know, whether you could stand the gain from it at all?
Yeah. If, like, you could rent out your land in theory, then that's sufficient grounds to evict the squatter l'chatchila. But if you couldn't rent it out...
I mean, it sounds like it's just like a thing with what it means by Zayin al-Khazar. Like, it sounds like they're...
To act as a bailam. Part of like acting as a bialim is like exercise your property right to do what you want with the land. And it's only in like the very limited case where like you couldn't even exercise your property right for your gain. Only in that very limited case will we allow the squatter to stay. Hear that?
Right. Is it like property or is it the fact that like theoretically it could cause a loss to you?
Like, I would say it's like a shear in the property right, meaning I have a right to my property so long as I could conceivably use it productively. That like shows that like it's, I have like reason for excluding somebody. Mm-hmm. But if I mamish have no conceivable profit making use of my property, then that doesn't give me a right to evict the guy. So you have three shittas here. We have the Ravio who thinks that even l'chatchila we say kofen al midas stom and allow the guy to trespass. We have the Mordechai who says that we'll evict him l'chatchila if you have some conceivable theoretical profit-making use from your land, right? And then we have the Mekah Yosef who says, no, according to the Ra'ah, so long as it's your property, you could always evict him. And the only time we say Kovan Amidas Dom is if it's not even your property, right? Seder? So look at this Oneg Yontif.
The Mordechai just pointed out the property rights are like, committed to profitable property rights?
Yeah. Right. Or at least property rights. I mean, your right to exclude exists right. When it has some relevance to your productive use of the land. Right. That's a reason to be able to exclude the guy. Right? Even if befoel, he's not causing you any loss. Right, so you could be a gavra, it could be a ara de lo kaima la agra, but since conceivably you could want to rent it out, then that's enough reason to evict him. But if there's no conceivable way in which you could rent it out even, then you have no right to exclude him. Good? Okay. Now I just want to look at this interesting Shironig Yom Tov where he's talking about this right to exclude under Kofen al Midas Tom. So he runs with this idea that we only say kofen al midas tom b'di'eved, but l'chatchila you could evict the guy. Basically, like Tosos and then Mukhi Yosef citing the Ra'ah. And look what he says, it's great formulations. Look at his Shaila even. See in Simon Memchas?
Yeah.
Look at the Shaila. Yeah, could you like use your friend's Esrog if it's Zenem Zelachas there? Look what he says. Right. So he cites Tosos, the L'chatchila, we don't say Kovan Amidas Tom, and so you can't compel the guy to give you the answer. So that's like the Ra'ah, right? Because Adavar Yotze Mir Shuso, meaning it's something that's not in your Rishus. Have Adavar Shehu Shalo. Yeah, very interesting idea, right? Just like an intuitive idea. Kol Echad Yachal Lehishtarer by Lehishtarer Al Shalo. You can rule over your property in the same way you want, in any way you want.
Yeah.
So it's like a property rights issue. You have like a right to exclude because that's like lifting what it means to be a property owner. Is that you could exclude somebody. L'histarer al shalo. I think it's a very nice formulation. And that's how he's using to flesh out Tosis's Shita. All right, good. Mm-hmm. And then there's one interesting, just two haros to wrap up this general discussion. So, the Tur in Shin Samach Gimel writes that once you warn the guy and tell him that l'chatchila, you don't want him to live there, if he b'dieved stays, then he's chayv to pay you, even though it's zen and avzelo chaser. So the, I mean, this distinction between l'chatchila and b'dieved is such that an objection lechatchila changes even the b'dieved rule, or even though b'dieved zen and avzelo chaser is potter, if you're mocha lechatchila, that's sufficient to be mechayev him. That's like a nice little sense point that like exercising your property right here can trigger a chiyuv b'dieved even. That's the first ha'ara. Yeah, that's really the only ha'ara for the main sugi of zen and avzelo chaser.
And you can compare what you've left.
The Demeschirus, it sounds like.
What Demeschirus?
I guess market rate for...
There's no point. There is no market, but it's not a...
I guess for something comparable. Even though this is not really Sada de Kaimala Agra, I guess you look for something comparable, what would it be renting for? Yeah, so just look at this. So I want to close with this Gemara on Chafaf Med Aleph. It's not really Nogea to Zenon as a Lachaser, but it ties in nicely to something we've seen earlier in the year. So you see the Gemara is summarizing the din of Zenon Zelo Chaser. And the Gemara says, Hu gavra debona padna akilkil akilkalta diyasmi. So if somebody built a building on land of Yisomim, okay? So the Gemara says he was supposed to pay rent and he didn't. Agve Rav Nachman la padne mine. So Rav Nachman took away the building and he gave it over to the Yisomim, basically. So Gemara says, Lema kastav Rav Nachman, hadar b'chatzach haver shalom yidaitu, tzarech lahalos lo schar. This guy, this Ahu Gavra, was trespassing on the land of the Yisomim, and it seemed like, the Gemara assumes it's Zenen of Ezelo Chaser, maybe, and so he should be chayav. You see that he's chayav to pay, that's why Rav Nachman confiscated the mansion, the building. So Ahu, the Gemara says, Ahu meikara karminoi hava dairi bay. He said, no, that must have been a case where it wasn't Zenon of Zelo Chaser, because originally these other people were leasing out the land to the Yisomim, and they were paying rent. They're paying some minimal rent to the Yisomim. And then this guy came and like kicked them out of the property. So he caused them a chaser, he caused them a loss, that they weren't collecting rent anymore. So Amar Le, Zil Paisin Huliyasmi, so he says, go be mefayis the Yisomim, because you caused them to lose rent. Below Ishkach, he didn't listen. So Agvir of Nachman la padne mine. So he took away their mansion. The interesting thing here is Matian and the Rishonim, why did he take away this guy's mansion? So was that to pay the rent that he owed? Or was it some sort of penalty?
Okay.
For not listening to his psak when he originally told them to mefayis the Yisomim. So the Tajbeit quotes this story. And he says, it's a case of, it's a case where he should have paid some rent, but he says, they refused to pay. And he says, umishum delo ashgach kanse, because they didn't listen to his psak to pay the Yisomim, so he knasted him by taking away his entire mansion. Like more than he was chayiv. So I thought there's another interesting example of a knas that's punitive. Right? It's not like a deterrent based knas. It's like because they didn't listen to his psak, so he fined them by imposing a penalty of collecting away their mansion. I think this adds nicely to the list of the knasas that we've seen earlier in the year. All right, shkoyach. Any other aros here that we should talk about? No, we're good.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Shkoyach.
All right.
That's it for this sugya. So then next we'll do Dina Degarmi and Grom and Azigan. Great.